Welcome to the Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Mark Coles. I have dedicated the last 15 years in the fitness industry to mastering my mind, my craft, and my business. It is my passion and mission to help each of you to do the same. Over the coming episodes, I will be providing you with all the necessary tools to be able to take full control and become a master of your career and your life. I'm really looking forward to going on this very exciting journey with you, so let's get right into today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. I hope you're all doing well. Now, I promised you all that I would be sharing little nuggets with you as we get closer to the end of the year, the start of next year, with regards to running your business, just at the start of each episode, just to give you some things to think about. Now, I've touched on this a little bit, but planning towards the end of the year. Inevitably, you guys know I love this time of the year. Inevitably, there's going to be a little bit of time where you have off, the days over Christmas, especially New Year. And we have all our content planned. You should have all your marketing planned. You shouldn't be waiting till January for things like flyers if you're going to drop them in the local area, for any promotional materials that you're going to leave in the gym, for content that you're going to put on social media, for any events that you're going to start, whether it's, you know, start of the new year challenges and things. Right now, there's loads of coaches that I'm working with that are busier now than they've ever been. You know, we've got our content planned in scheduling tools such as Meet Edgar. And if you haven't looked at that, that's where you can put your content all in order in rows. We have a lot of our articles blocked inside or put inside an order inside Meet Edgar, and it posts on Facebook and things like Twitter. And our content is shared from things like YouTube. So there's various times throughout the Christmas period, obviously, for us all, where we're not going to be working, we want to be with family, we want to be enjoying ourselves. And Mark, how do I keep my content going out? Well, you use scheduling tools such as Meet Edgar and Hootsuite. And these are great tools to be able to put your content in. So this time of the year, you should be writing your content, planning your content. So if you do have 6 or 7 days where you want to spend more time with your family, social media, you're still very visible. And in the gym, if you're planning on getting your marketing out there, flyers, marketing material, it should all be made now. It should all be printed now and ready to go. And I've had meetings with my marketing team about what we're doing so that we are ahead of the game. And just remember, this time of the year, you know, people don't wait just till January to think about getting in better shape. They're thinking about it now. So it's very, very important that you are staying visible. And one little other trick, especially for those of you on social media, if you've had great results throughout the year so far and it's slowed up a little bit, you know, your clients aren't necessarily working towards a goal at Christmas. You might have a large percentage of your clients not necessarily bringing in the results at the moment. There's no reason why you can't be on social media sharing your results from the year and talking about them in the context of what people can learn about the results that those people achieved, specific to what's happening in January. So here's a set of results. This was a client of mine in July that did this. And these are some of the things we looked at. And moving into the new year, this is something that you should be thinking about too. And if you're thinking about achieving results like my client, Jane, whatever, then these are some of the things you should actually be implementing right now or when you start in January. So your post is not necessarily, here's my client, Jane, who got ready to go on holiday and looks great in a bikini. You could actually say, this is potentially what she achieved, but here's one of the most valuable things she learned. So you can use your results as a piece of visual content to get people's attention, and then write about a subject linked to your client that people can learn about right now. So you're still staying visible. Recycling content is still a very, very valuable thing when it comes to digital marketing. You can reword it, you can change how the images look. It's not bad to repurpose things. You know, they're still your results and there's still a story to tell. So if you've got 7 or 8, 10 results that you've achieved over the last few months, then go back right to the, say, June, July, and start posting them once every few days and just remind people of the work that you do. And also, there's always new people that are following you, so they haven't seen them, and they're more likely to be the ones that are going to sign up with you in January. So I hope that helped. And if you have any questions always, please feel free to drop me a message inside my Instagram. Right, let's move on into today's episode. Episode 131. I'm going to talk to you about losing control. Something that I talk to fitness professionals about all the time. You start off the coaching process with all good intentions of keeping your client focused and keeping your client on track and helping them to achieve their results. And then they just don't seem interested. They don't turn up on time. They don't seem as committed to the training session. And you always wonder, like, what is going on? And there'll be times when you've got clients like this and sometimes they just disappear. They say that they want to stop the coaching process because of financial reasons, or this is a perfect time at this time of the year. You're going to get clients that, you know, you look at your portfolio and you say, there's a few of them that I just don't feel like they're really that engaged with the coaching process. And they'll tell you that they're going to have a little break for a few days over Christmas. And I can guarantee, guys, if you've lost control of a percentage of your diary right now, they're not going to come back. And it's important right now that you regain control of some of your clients. But what I want to do for you today is to essentially talk you through how you keep control of your clients. So in terms of observing whether or not you're in control of your clients, is knowing whether you have, they're progressing, they're involved. As a coach, whether or not the training sessions are more like a fitness training session, or whether you feel like you're fully in control of a professional coaching system. Let me explain. A lot of the work that I do with fitness professionals is helping layer on the fitness brain with a business brain. See, with business, I'm always thinking of a long game. I'm thinking, how is this client going to support my career, my reputation? The results that this person achieves will improve my reputation. That reputation is going to give me a better opportunity to increase my income. That level of income is going to support my education. It's going to support my life. It's going to support so many things that I value. And therefore, every single time I go into a training session, and this takes time to actually develop, is as a business brain, you're not just going in to deliver a fitness session. You're not going to deliver, you know, a lower body session. To me, it's part of a professional coaching system, which is helping me grow as a professional. It's helping me get my career from A to B. And the percentage of clients that you've got in control of, the percentage of clients that are engaged with the coaching process, there's a higher percentage of a chance that your reputation is going to grow, your income is going to grow, and your career is going to develop. The larger percentage of clients that you've lost control with, that aren't progressing, that aren't interested, that aren't really, you know, showing any commitment to the coaching process, the slower or longer it's going to take you to move forward. And one of the biggest things about having a business brain is layering a business framework to your coaching process, having a vision of where you want to get to. So when you're looking at everything that you're doing, you're saying, I can't afford for this client to not do well. So it's up to me to stay in control. And when I teach a lot of my business programs, especially my mastermind, my 6-month business mentoring and business framework and vision planning program that starts in January. And if you want me to help you to develop a business brain, business framework, solid vision for 2020 and support you every step of the way to help you make that happen, then click on the link in my bio for the business mastermind. Read what it's all about. If you'd love to chat to me about it, I don't want you to miss out on the opportunity of taking your business and developing your business brain in 2020. So you'll hear me talk a lot about it, because if I don't help you in 2020 and you want help, then you're going to get halfway through the year, back end of the year, still struggling. So remember, it's those that take action that win. And if you want to win in 2020, it starts with me at the beginning of January. So click the link in my bio on Instagram, look into the business mastermind, drop me a DM if you'd like any more information. But for now, let's move into the kind of coaching process that really dictates what I see as a maintenance of control, your ability to keep in control. So I'm going to essentially go through different bits of the coaching process and give you an idea of what you should be doing, how you keep control. So rather than just keep pointing out, you're going to know if you've lost control. Because if you've lost control or you're losing control, a very small percentage of your clients are moving forward. And there's a lot of trainers that tell me this. I've got a lot of my clients that are just ticking over. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and this is different for me, but I wanted my reputation to grow. And when a client was ticking over, I would say, does that client need me to tick over? And at the time for me, helping people to tick over was pretty boring. I would always want to be working with people with goals. And one of the ways to stay in control is to actually let somebody go who it wants to tick over. To me, as a progress, as a results-driven coach, I was always working with people that are moving forward. You look at a lot of prep coaches, you know, they'll help advise their athletes in the off-season with muscle building. But ultimately, they'll be hired for the prep when you put the pedal to the metal to get in shape. And whilst I recommend people work with a coach in the off-season, the contact is a lot less. So I could say to people that are quite happy to tick over, look, you know, once a month, come for a new training program. But if you're prepared to tick over, we can have a training session in 4 or 5 weeks' time. But I can do a program for you. I can put you on like a monthly payment structure where I'll do all your programs, adjusting your nutrition, but you don't need to come and see me. If they need you to train them, then that client's got to be training hard. They don't necessarily always have to be on point with their diet, but they just have to be training hard in the gym. And if somebody's got to the point where they don't really enjoy training that much, they're not really following their nutrition, what I would generally do is say to that client, look, let's have a break. Let's leave it for a little while. And what I would do then is take on new clients. And that was always my opportunity to increase my revenue. I'd always want to be having the biggest percentage possible of clients that not only was I in control with, the clients that are progressing. And I talk a lot about not deadwood, right? It's all about the clients that aren't moving forward. And if they're not moving forward and they're not complementary to a results-based coach, and a results-based coach wants to be working with the majority of their clients that are making progress, right? There are some clients you're going to want to train because you love working with them. But if 60% or 70% of your diary are ticking over, you'll never build a reputation in the fitness industry. I promise you. No one built a reputation with clients that tick over. Please understand that. If you want a business to build a reputation, you can't have clients that tick over. So let me talk to you through the coaching process. What helps you keep in control of the coaching process? Well, first and foremost, it all starts at the beginning, all right? As a professional coach, I've said this many, many times, I do when I teach as well, you must demand a questionnaire. From the minute you have a phone call to how you speak to people on the phone, you must demand something from them before you start. You must deliver a professional consultation, whether that's on the phone, you know, if it's just on quick messages backwards and forwards, we'll start on Wednesday. That's not professional. So that starts a coaching process in like the friend zone. Yeah, no problem. I've got a session free on Thursday. No, if you want to actually be in control and be a results-based coach, you do this. You have a professional consultation over the phone or face-to-face. And before you do that, you demand a questionnaire. You send a professional email out with the questionnaire. You see people face to face in the gym, you hand them the questionnaire. They have to complete that before they see you. You have to be polite, you have to be professional, and you have to make sure people are aware that it is a business relationship. So when you had a consultation with somebody, if, and it happens, they're not ready to sign up, but they're considering it, follow up with a professional email. Say, it was an absolute pleasure to meet you the other day or yesterday, just to review the things that you were looking to achieve and the coaching process that I suggested that you follow. If I can be of any help, or if you'd like to discuss actually booking in, these are the times that I have available. That person immediately says, how professional. Now, you might finish the training session or the consultation and that evening say, would it be okay if I gave you a call on Wednesday just to see what your thoughts are? Majority of you should have closed at the sale, whether it's online or face-to-face. So at that point, you actually say to people when it comes to finances that the way that you work your coaching is you either have a month in advance or they pay for a lot more in advance. And your coaching will begin, whether it's online or face-to-face, once the initial payment's been made. And you don't allow coaching to continue until the funds are in. And then, whether or not it's online or whether it's face-to-face, you have very diligent assessment strategies, sending forms out, filling forms out, And then you follow up that again. So you do an assessment, you let people know what you find in the assessment. You're online, you follow up with what you're going to do with their programming and their templates. And everything that you deliver to that client, from the assessment to starting the training process, is how you're regarded as a professional. Now, most trainers wing it. Do an assessment, don't write anything down, don't give any feedback to the client, don't give it any follow-up systems. And also, there's a lot of personal trainers that don't have any plans, don't have any journey laid out for your clients. And every single time you're not delivering a professional service, their level of value for you will decrease. And at any given point where they're not really getting results and there's no system and you're kind of winging it a little bit and you think that the only way to keep them is to start just having more conversations, the reason they came for you is they suddenly start to value less and less because you suddenly start to enter the friend zone. If you're the trainer that values having a chat because your day is very long and you think if I have a chat, you know, I'll get on with this client and they'll stay a lot longer, of course they'll like you, but the chance of them getting the result is very, very slim. And there's only so long people will stay with you just because they like you. If they're not getting a result, they're not going to progress. So it all comes down to the professionalism from day one and then the delivery of your assessments, then to the coaching, and even doing the training session. If you want somebody to work while you're in the training session, right, no talking while we do your set. We can talk at the end of the set, of course we can, but I will make sure people are aware of that. But here's the thing, whenever you'd see me coaching, I'd always have a good time with my clients, always have a good time with my clients. But when it was the time to do the exercise, we did the exercise. When it was the time to have a rest, we'd have a rest. When it was time to go again, we'd go again. Then at the end of the training session, you will see this so frequently when the guys finish their coaching at M10. There is a follow-up, there is a roundup. If you're an online coach, there should be a follow-up, there should be a roundup after a Skype call. Your client should know where they're going. If your client doesn't understand where they're going and you're not wrapping up your sessions, you're not following up, you're starting to lose control. Here's the thing. If you're not in control, the client's unsure of where they're going. And when they're unsure of where they're going, they will start to become less interested in the coaching process. So here's the thing. You will start getting to a poor point when a client's not getting great results and they're starting to get to that ticking over point when you start taking them for granted. You start to get lazy and they will lose their respect for you. In their eyes, if you were to ask them, do they still see you as their professional coach or are you starting to become someone's fitness trainer? It's very, very important that I highlight this to you. This part of the podcast in itself will not only help you if you leveled up your professionalism to retain clients, you will have your clients consistently progressing towards their goals. If your client is starting to turn up late, if your client's starting to talk too much in the training sessions, if your client's not replying to emails, if your client's canceling sessions, they're all signs that you're losing control. Now, are you losing control because there's other things going on in their life that's important to them at this time where you have become less of a priority? Possibly. Is that an opportunity for you to just take them for granted, just do the sessions because it's an hourly rate? Professional coaches don't do that. Professional coaches don't just look, my client's losing interest, it's money in the bank. The marketing on the gym floor, social media, if you're running an online business, there's business everywhere. You shouldn't need to be worried about keeping hold of people and then them ticking over, because all that's happened is that the more you're going to lose control of your clients, the quicker it's going to impact your business, the ability, the results you're going to get, and the reputation you're going to get. So the reason why I go back to fitness brain and business brain is a business brain is always thinking, right, my reputation, obviously revenue, because ultimately in your career you want to charge more, but you're delaying every opportunity for your business to progress. You're delaying the opportunity for your clients to talk to their friends and say, do you know what? No matter how slack I get with my training, how uninterested I kind of get with it, my client, my trainer doesn't take his or her foot off the ball. They're always helping me stay focused. They're always realigning it. But you know what the other thing they do is when I'm not on track, when I'm cheating on my food and going out the weekends, they'll bollock me. They'll pull me up. And the way you do that is you get them in the assessment room and say, hey, I don't lose control of my coaching relationship here, but you personally are slipping away. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. If you start to become uninterested, you don't want to be here, there's very little point in me continuing coaching with you. So, you know I want to coach you, and you know I want to help you to get results, but I need you to tell me, what's the problem? And this is the difference, right, between going into the friend zone, but also keeping that professional head on. And if your client doesn't see you as a professional coach, they see you as a fitness trainer, very easy to see that. You can very easily see whether your clients respect you for your knowledge. They respect you for your professionalism. And that's, they're turning up on time. They're working hard. And all of this, right? Yes, you might have agreed with them that you're not going to push hard with your nutrition at the moment to lose a lot of weight, but they're still training hard in the gym. They're still doing all the things you've agreed. So as a trainer, you have a list of non-negotiables with your client, a list of things that you've agreed you're going to do, list of things that you're not going to do. And providing that you're sticking to those and they're sticking to their part of the bargain, you're not losing control. When things start to slip, and you'll know they'll slip, that's where you've got to have the honest conversation with your client. You've also got to be very, very careful that your client isn't slipping too much into the friend zone, where your training sessions are just becoming conversations. Now, if you want to be a trainer that does 35 sessions a week and has 70% of your diary as clients that are your friends, then that's great. But I work with trainers that want to build their reputation. I work with trainers that want to get results. And if you want to be somewhere in 3 to 5 years' time and have people regarding you for your expertise, contacting you and be prepared to charge to pay what you charge, you've got to build your reputation. That means you've got to step it up into being a fitness business professional, not just a fitness professional. You're not delivering sessions. You're not just delivering a program. You're actually working with somebody to support their goals, which actually supports your vision and goals. And to do that, you've got to start off the coaching process demanding this high level of professionalism from both sides. That your client has to understand that you're a business professional. And I've said this before, I will always explain to people that work with me, I want something from you, you want something from me. When you come on my mastermind, when you do our mentorship programs, when I work with any fitness professional, I want a testimonial at the end of it. The only way I'm going to get a testimonial is if you and I work together to get to this end goal. Now, if your client's done, you know, 20, 25 pounds, 30 pounds, they're happy where they're at right now, and they want to maintain, and they said, look, you know, I don't really want to push on. Your job as a professional is to help them to see if they can push on. But you've got to work out whether or not that person is of value to you at that time. And I know you might think it's a harsh thing, but if you're a results-based coach, one of the things you're focusing on is whether somebody's continuing to progress. Now, providing your client's doing very, very well and you're adding value to their life and value to their health and they're training hard, you might say, well, great, that's 2 of 3 clients that I've got that may be ticking over, but I really enjoy training them. And I always had plenty of those, but 70 to 80% of my clients were all getting results. If 80% of your clients are ticking over, then you need to change that ratio around, because that's where you regain control of your diary. So you're losing control of your diary, because if your diary is not producing results to help you grow your business, your reputation is going to stay stable. So remember, it's very, very easy to lose control if you're not actually got a business brain. You're not thinking about your career, your future, the relationships with your clients. And if it starts to slip, when they're not turning up, not following their diet, you're taking your clients, you're getting a little bit lazy yourself. You know, where's your programs? Where's your plans? Where's the journey for your client? Do you feel like you're winging it a little bit? Anytime all of these things you can say yes to, you're losing control. And I don't want that to happen for you. So today's episode has been mainly to ensure that as a fitness professional, you step up your business brain. And here's the thing, if you've lost control of your clients at this time of the year, they're not going to come back in January, I guarantee. So you might need some very honest conversations in the next 7 days and say to your clients, hey, all right, I'm a professional. I want to help you move forward. Things aren't moving forward at the moment. You're uninterested. We can't move into January like this. They'll suddenly go, wow, there's my professional coach. They're back again. That person I had at the beginning. And please let me end on this. If you are different, if you are lazy, if your client is underperforming relative to how diligent and professional you were at the beginning, you've lost control. And it takes somebody that's very, very business focused, dedicated and committed to maintain that high level of professional standards. So let this be a little bit of a nudge to yourself that you can regain control, But you have to start in control and keep control. And if you've lost it, you get one chance to pull it back. If you lose it again, there's no point continuing with that client. So I hope this has been of value to you. All these episodes are just giving you nudges in the right direction. And if you want to take yourself forward and develop more of a business brain, have a clear vision, build a business framework, and have a big opportunity to drive your business forward in 2020, then make a commitment. Join me for 6 months in London, January the 17th, and I look forward to supporting you on your journey. I hope you found this episode of the podcast helpful. Please, as always, share the episode, drop me a message, any questions you have. Stay in control. If you want to build your reputation, build your business, build your brand, you need to stay in control. Guys, have a great week.